नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडेज सेशन। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम द बुक भक्तिया लोका Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, which is the collection of 12 essays based on the 6 favorable and 6 unfavorable items for practicing bhakti, in which we are currently discussing the last essay, Sato Vritti or Savritti. Okay, that's what, following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, that's what we have been discussing about. So here Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur starts this essay by telling there are two types of sadhus, one who are householders, another which are renunciants. And then he says that the word vritti means, it has two meanings. One meaning is propensity, another is lifestyle. So he says that so he is going to first talk about both of these. Okay, so in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that it is better one engage in occupation according to one's nature, because that is very favorable. And we saw that whether one has qualification for karma or for bhakti, it is favorable for one to engage in an occupational duty which is according to their nature, right? It is absolutely non-negotiable on the path of karma. On the path of karma, if someone does not engage in an occupation according to one's nature, it is sinful and one accumulates sinful actions. Whereas on the path of bhakti, it is favorable. Okay. So, then is that gradually by engaging in an occupation that is favorable to one's, that is, according to one's nature becomes very quickly beautified by practice of devotional service. That's what Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur is mentioning here. And then he says that therefore people should engage in occupations according to nature, and also engage everything that is sattvic objects, their activities, time, everything should be dovetailed in Krishna's service, like that. And then he talks about the general propensities of human beings in mode of goodness. He talks about 30 qualities which are seen. He says that according to the differentiation of these 30 qualities, the 4 varnas and the 4 ashramas divided, and the 4 varnas exhibit particular, the 4 ashramas exhibit particular, they have particular duties and qualities. For a sannyasi, his duty or his qualities that he has to show are equanimity and non-violence. For a vanaprastha, it is austerity and philosophical understanding of the difference between the body and soul. And for the householders, it is giving shelter to all living entities and performance of sacrifices. And then for a brahmachari, it is serving the guru. So these are essential duties of the ashramas. And there is also particular occupational duty for the 4 varnas, patan patan yajan yajan dana prati graha. These are for the brahmanas, and like that, and they maintain their lives only through this. And a kshatriya's occupation is protecting his subjects, and therefore he can maintain himself by taxation, by taxing them. And a vaishya's profession is Krishi, Goraksha and Vanijyam. These are their profession. And a Shudra's profession is to serve the other three varnas, especially the Brahmanas. Okay, and then there are those who are outside of the Varnashrama system also, and below the Shudras, they are called as Antyajas. They have to follow an occupation which is their traditional occupation. Whatever has been followed in that tradition, according to that tradition, they should follow those traditional occupation. That is what is recommended for them. So, but having said that, if someone is a devotee, one should understand that his primary occupation is only, and purpose of life is only, to please Lajna and by performing devotional service. But even to perform devotional service, one needs a favorable grass body, a favorable subtle body. So if the bodies are too much the control of the Rajogun and Mogun, then it becomes very difficult to engage in, steadily engage in devotional service. So therefore, therefore Varnashrama Dharma is needed for maintaining a favorable gross body and subtle body. So we discussed last time that the word Varnashrama has multiple meanings. Of course, let's come to that. So mentioned that one should engage in occupation and in a particular lifestyle which actually nourishes the sattva guna and subdues the rajoguna and tamoguna. Okay, so then the grass body and the subtle body become very suitable for practicing devotional service. So here he says there is a need for Varnashrama until one remains in the stage of piety and impiety. So so he says that, so we were discussing the other day that the acharyas on one hand say that Varnashrama is not at all needed for the, and on the other hand, like in this particular instance, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and sometimes Srila Prabhupada, they emphasize that the need for Varnashrama Dharma. So how do you reconcile? We were trying to understand last time that the word Varnashrama indicate four different things. Of course, it could indicate more than that, but four prominent things. Varnashrama may indicate the social order. Varnama may indicate a value system, you know. And the word Varnashrama also indicate the occupations. And the word Varnashrama may indicate rituals, particular rituals or particular yajñas which are performed by personalities in one of the Varnas and Ashramas. So the Varnashrama can indicate any of these things. Okay. So when the acharyas say we have to accept Varnashram, what it means is we don't accept the value system Varnashram. Dharmasya sankalpo adharmasya varjanam. We don't accept that value system. We accept only the value system of anukulya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. And also we don't accept all the rituals as it is. You know, only if some of those rituals are doubtable in Krishna's service, then accept. Otherwise, we don't blindly accept all the rules of the Varnashrama system. Okay. But what we do accept or can accept is the occupations, because generally they are favorable even on the path of bhakti. And also the social setting, as long as it is not against the principles of bhakti, they can be accepted also. And but Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, but in the conversation with Ramanandara, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramanandara what is the ultimate of life, and he said that Varnashrama Charavata Purushena Puman Vishnur Aradite Panta Nanya Tattva Karanam. The ultimate goal of life is to please the Supreme Lord by performing Ashtama Dharma. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Eho Bahya Ahe Kaho Ar. This is just external. Please speak more. So, so what was, did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually reject Varnashrama? What exactly it is? And what is the purport of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's statement that this is just external? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meant that Varnashrama Dharma is primarily to regulate the gross and subtle bodies. But if someone is satisfied only in regulating their gross and subtle body without engaging in devotional service, then what is the gain? Okay. So that is the point. So he says that as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharma Swanashtitakpam Sam Vishwaksena Katasriyaha Na Utpadeyate Diretim Shramayeva Hi Kevalam. So Varnashrama Dharma, which does not produce attraction for the topics of the Lord, is wasted effort. So one should not think that by quoting these verses, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking us to discard Varnashram system wholesale. No, that is not what he means. If that was the case, then he would not have properly practiced Grihastha Dharma, and he would not have properly practiced his Sannyasa Dharma along with, as a Brahma, whatever was his occupation, he was practicing that. Patan patan yajan yajan dana pratigraha. So he did not give up his Varna Dharma. He did not give up his Ashrama Dharma. So, but what is important is that as long as one is at duty, these rules and regulations of Varna and Ashrama should remain under the full control and domination of Bhakti. They cannot act independent of the principles of Bhakti. They should be fully under control and domination of Bhakti. Which means some of the limbs of Varnashrama can be accepted in the mood of Anukulyasya Sankalp Pratikulyasya Varjanam. So that should be the primary principle we should control, and it should not be accepted as the Varnashrama in lieu of Dharmasya Sankalpa Dharmasya Varjanam, like that. So he says that naturally when one accepts favorable occupations, then it becomes favorable for devotional service. But when one comes to a situation where one reaches the stage of bhava or prema, then one can give up that varnashram duties. Okay. So then he says that human beings are divided into brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, shudras, Varana Sankaras and Tyajas, you know, six divisions. And Shri Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, even the system of Varnashrama may be clearly present in other countries, but it still exists in a seedling form. So according to one's nature, one naturally loves an occupation, and accordingly he maintains livelihood. Okay. But one should not accept someone as livelihood. Then it will lead to misfortune. So it will act as an obstacle to devotional service also. But in accepting occupation according to one's nature, birth is the only criteria. One's nature is the only criteria. So therefore, sometimes a person born in a Brahmana family, he is not showing the qualities of a Brahmana. He should not be accepted as a Brahmana. On the other hand, one who is born in a Vaishya or a Shudra family, if he is clear showing the qualities of a Brahmana, based on those manifestations of qualities, be accepted as a Brahmana. Right? So, and this kind of Varnashram system based on qualities should be accepted. It is often useful for devotional service. It is often means not always. Useful means it is not mandatory and it is not non-negotiable. Okay? So, it is often useful, which means favorable for devotional service. Okay. So, then, in following this Varnashrama, you should not become overly attached to the rules and regulations of Varnashrama. If one may perfectly practice the rule regulations of Varnashrama, but if they are without devotion, then all that goodness of no use. Viprad dushat gunayutat aravindanavadaravinda vimpat vimukat kopacham varishtam manyeta darpitamana vachane artha pranam punati sakulam natubhuana. Prahlad Maharaj says that even though a Brahman possesses all those 12 qualities in extraordinary proportions, but if he does not have devotional service to the Lord, then a Peter who has bhakti is superior to such a brahmana. While the dog eater, because he has bhakti, purify not only himself, can purify his family also. Brahmana, even though endowed extraordinary qualities, but he cannot purify himself, what to speak of his family members like that. So now, what exactly is sadhuti? How do you practice these principles that have been shunned? You know, he says varna should be followed, it should not be given up. So what exactly mean? How do we follow that? Do we take up the Dharma Shastras and try to understand the duties of varna and ashrama according to the Dharma Shastra and then follow? So as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, what is expected of us? Are we supposed to scrutinizingly study the Dharma Shastras and follow the rules of varna and ashrama? In response to this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that no, actually one should follow the footsteps of the sadhus. And sadhus are of two types, or mahajans. Sadhus or mahajans are of two types. Those who appeared before the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and those who appeared after the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he says that of the two, the conduct of those who appeared after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should be considered relevant, and that should be adopted in one's own practice. So, which means, we were discussing last time, so, you know, from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu onwards, you can say, or from Madhavendra Puri onwards, real Gaudiya Vaishnavism starts from there only. So before that, whatever the jans may have followed, that is not what we exactly follow. Okay, for example, in our disciplic line, you know, Madhvacharya and his followers also come. We don't exactly follow whatever they follow because they are in the parampara. Because they give too much emphasis to karma and there is not much of purity followed. So therefore, that kind of practice is not according to the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Their practice does not, for most of the people, whatever is recommended does not come under the definition of Shuddha Bhakti as given by Rupa Goswami. Anya bilashita shujana karma dena vritam anakulyana krishnana shilanam bhakti ruttama. So it does not fall the category. So therefore, one should not accept their practices. Generally, one should accept the practices of those who appeared after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Their practices should be adopted for one's own practice. Okay. So then he says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers were of two types, householders and renunciants, and each had Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught through his example and through his teachings the ideal bear for such people. So one should learn from the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the conduct of the Mahajans who had after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in order to understand how a householder should conduct his own life. So the first rule is that one should learn not from the Dharmastras, but from the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I am going to just summarize what he has mentioned. And then he says, as a householder, one should find a suitable wife. Okay. One should find a suitable wife. And having accepted wife, one should learn to see one's family members as servants of Krishna. Okay. This is the third principle. And the fourth principle that he teaches is that accumulate wealth through pious means. Okay. Accumulate wealth through pious means. Don't resort to impious ways to accumulate wealth. Then he says that one should be educated at an appropriate age. That is very important. but one should not engage oneself in studying atheistic literatures. That is the fifth point. Sixth point is that as a householder, it is very important to do proper atithi seva, serving the guests. It is very critical for householders. And seventh principle that he says is avoid duplicity in ordinary and occupational dealings. In occupational dealings and in ordinary dealings with others, one should avoid duplicitous behavior. One should be as much straightforward as possible. And not only that, as householders, it is very critical that one serves the senior members like father, grandfather, mother, grandmother, etc. They have to be served nicely. Right? Then, the ninth principle that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught his followers who are grihasthas is that cultivate the mood of internal renunciation, whereas don't be too eager for external renunciation. You know, this is what he mentioned. Stirahaya gareyao nahao vatul krame krame pai loka bhava sindhupul markata vairagya nakara loka dekhaiya yata yoga vishaya bunja anasaktahaiya antare nishtakara bahya loka vyavahar achirata krishna tomai karibe udhar. This is what he tells Raghunath Das Goswami. Antare nishtakara bahya vyavahar. Yeah, internally you have proper faith and proper practices, but externally you act just like an ordinary man. And acting in this way, achirata krishna tomai karibe uddhar, and very soon Krishna will deliver you, right? And then the 10th principle, it's that as a householder you should be duty bound to work for everyone's benefit. Bharata bhumite haila manushya janma jat janma sartaka karikaro paraupakar nacha gao bhakta sange kara sankir krishna nama upadeshitara sarvajan. So like that he says that be duty bound to work for everyone's benefit. Don't be selfishly absorbed in your own deliverance, in your own benefit. Be interested in working for everyone's benefit. And then, as householders, one should carefully avoid association of duplicitous people. And one should always try to associate with proper Vaishnavas. And then he says that one should, as a householder, one should as much as possible depend on the will of the Lord. Okay. On the will of the Lord. This is very important. So, then he says that learn to accumulate wealth, prescribe occupations and mindful occupations, you know, as far as possible. And do not hanker for another person's wife or property or prostitutes. You know, one should be very carefully attached to, or you know, dedicated to one's own wife and family, and not try to enjoy with other women. And 16th is that one should be very dedicated to chanting a fixed number of rounds. And then Mahaprabhu said, I would not eat in a house of a person who is not a lakpati. Okay. So, lakpati means at least they should be chanting 1 lakh names, which means 64 rounds. So, if someone is not chanting 64 rounds, I will not honor prasad in such person's house. This was the Mahaprabhu's standards. So, this is where we ended our discussion last week. So, before we continue today's discussion, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add, you can please go ahead. Hari Prasad Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, you're able to hear me?
Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, what does it mean that when it was told before that we have to follow Varnashram till the stage we reach Bhava or prema like mm-hmm. that. So yeah. in the context of the word varnashram, we understand that it's not a value system. We are understanding this is a setup where we can take care of subtle body and gross body. So means, does this mean that after going to bhava and prema, we don't take care of subtle body and gross body needs, or they go beyond all these things? That's why they were told like this.
See, basically what it means is that one is already liberated state actually. Liberated means what? Liberated from the inertia of past false ego. So there is no bodily identification. One identifies with one's eternal body actually. So there is, so you know, currently we as devotees, we have true ego, but we have the influence of past false ego. The stage of bhava and prema, there is no influence of past false ego. So therefore, there is no strong identification as a male or a female, you know, because one has already linked oneself in his eternal relation with Krishna. So his eternal form is already revealed to that person. He has come in touch with Krishna, Samvita and Ladini Shakti, without the influence of the past false ego. So such a person, it may be very difficult for him to rigidly adhere to the social setup, the gender roles and you know the occupational duties and all that. It may be very difficult for such a person to engage. So except for some lokasangraha purposes, which as a duty to Krishna, he may try to do it if he is in the preaching mission, but not everyone is obliged. People, they don't follow such rules if they are completely absorbed in their eternal occupation. So but generally, as long as the inertia of the past false ego is there, one should not abruptly give up social obligations and a favorable occupation and the gender roles and those kind of things.
So this is, thank you very much. But just should I have some follow-up question to this also. We generally say Yukta Vairagya is a stage where a devotee gets a strength to go against his swabhava and then he can do whatever he wants. He can perform any service, he can engage anything in Krishna's service. That's a stage where he gets strength. We should have something like Nishtha stage. So at that stage, devotee should not, he should not leave still this kind of varnashram. We should leave this at the stage of bhava and prema only, not even nishta. Then what is the meaning of the varnashram? At least it seems to me that this is what I understand. Beyond all this,
varnashram means what? Actually, we don't accept their value system. Yeah, so yeah. Whatever we accept is in the mood of anukulyasa sankalpa pratikulyasa varjanam undi. So it is not exactly varnashram. You may call it varnashram, but in reality, it is actually secondary limbs of bhakti undi. So in that sense, you know, like accepting a wife or accepting a husband may be favorable for one's practice of bhakti, because if one feels the need living a life in that particular way, need of a companion and need of a family support to practice bhakti, one may accept it. So and for that, one has to take care of the family, one has to accept an occupation. So it is better that one accepts an occupation according to one's nature. But all of that, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, should be completely under the control and domination of bhakti. which means it should be completely under the control and domination of the value system of bhakti. So any time it contradicts the value system of bhakti, one rejects it. So with that mode one accepts. In that case, it is not exactly varnashram, because it is not accepted in the mode of value system of varnashram. It is accepted in the mode of the value system of bhakti. So those become secondary limbs of bhakti. So you may want to call it as varnashram, but in reality they are secondary limbs of bhakti. Whatever is favorable for bhakti, one accepts it. So and at some point, the further we go, the slower, the weaker the force of the false ego as we progress from anarthanavritti to nishtha to ruchi to asakti, the dependent, the secondary limbs of bhakti will become weaker and weaker. So then when we come to the stage of bhava, there will be a complete non-dependence on the secondary limbs. There will be a predominant dependence only on the primary limbs of bhakti, like that. So rather than use varnashram, which can potentially confuse, so the dependent secondary limbs of bhakti will become weaker and weaker as we progress from anarthanavritti to nishtha, chi to asakti, to bhava, to prema, like that. Does it make sense?
Yes, actually, we can whenever varnashram is given, we can imply that as a secondary limb of devotion service. Huh? That's
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else before we move forward? Okay, if there is none, then we will continue our discussion. Okay. So, we still have 1.5 hours, so let's see what we can complete. The Lord has said in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat Antyakanda, Adharma jane raye acharayena dharma adhikari vaishnaveyo kare sei karma Krishna kripa sei ha jani bare pare. Sometimes an exalted Vaishnava exhibits the same activities as a materialistic person. One can understand this by the mercy of Krishna. Otherwise, in this dilemma, one may be liberated or destroyed. So sometimes externally, a very exalted Vaishnava may be engaged in the same kind of activity like a materialistic person. Like you see in the case of Kolavecha Sridhar, he was selling banana leaves, banana stems, banana, you know, raw banana, banana fruits, bananas, etc. You know, he was engaged in these kind of occupational duties just like a materialistic person. So one really needs the mercy of Krishna to understand the person is engaged, is a materialistic person or a devotee, right? The purport is that the conviction in the heart of a Vaishnava is independent. The conviction in the heart of a Vaishnava is independent. If one is a Vaishnava, then he can understand the conviction in the heart of another Vaishnava who is engaged in the same activities as those of Smarthas. So the Smarthas and Vaishnavas may engage in the same activities, but if one has mercy of Krishna and if one is himself a Vaishnava, he can very clearly identify, oh, here is a Vaishnava and here is a Smartha, even though both of them are engaged seemingly in the activity. Right? One who cannot understand this cannot respect Vaishnavas and he thereby goes to hell. So one who cannot understand this cannot respect the Vaishnavas. And if one does not respect the Vaishnavas, they go to hell. The Lord has explained the duty of householders in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. What are the duties of a householder? प्रभु कहें कृष्ण सेवा वैष्णव सेवान निरंतर कर कृष्ण नाम संकीर्तन. सो व्हाट द ड्यूटीज ऑफ अ हाउसहोल्डर. प्रभु कहें कृष्ण सेवा वैष्णव सेवान निरंतर कर कृष्ण नाम संकीर्तन. कृष्ण सेवा, निरंतर कृष्ण सेवा, निरंतर वैष्णव सेवा, निरंतर कृष्ण नाम संकीर्तन. विदाउट सेसेशन वन शुड कंटिन्यू टू द होली नेम ऑफ कृष्ण. सॉरी, निरंतर कृष्ण नाम संकीर्तन एंड वेन एवर पॉसिबल सर्व कृष्ण एंड हिज डिवोटीज द वैष्णवस. निरंतर कृष्ण कर कृष्ण नाम संकीर्तन. वन शुड कंटिन्यूअसली चैंट द होली नेम्स ऑफ कृष्ण. दीज आर ड्यूटीज. It is the duty of a grihastha to constantly chant the holy names of the Lord and serve the Vaishnavas and the Lord with the help of his relatives and by the wealth he has earned through his pious life. So whatever wealth he has earned through his pious life, one should engage it in serving Krishna and the Vaishnavas, and one should utilize his time as much as possible in chanting the holy names. And regarding serving the Vaishnavas, one should know that there are three types of non-duplicitous devotees. Serving such Vaishnavas is called Vaishnava Seva. So the three types are, I think, Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. Okay. So one should learn to serve the Vaishnavas of these three types. There is no need to gather many Vaishnavas by invitation. You don't have to call many, many, many Vaishnavas. Whenever a Vaishnava comes for any purpose, he should be properly served with care. When they come naturally, without even being invited, they should be served with care. By gathering many Vaishnavas, one may commit offenses. Don't invite too many Vaishnavas because you may not be able to serve them properly. So therefore, he says that, you know, don't gather too many Vaishnavas because you may end up committing offense. You may not be able to serve all of them properly. As stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila, Bahuta sanyasi yadi aise ekathai sammana karite nari aparada pai. If all the sannyasis come together, it would not be possible for me to pay them proper respects. Therefore, I would be an offender. It is the duty of a grihastha Vaishnava to show mercy on the poor and fallen. So, okay, we have been noting down, right? So, okay. So the importance of chanting a fixed number of rounds. This is 16th, right? So, okay. 17th is learn to carefully discriminate Vaishnavas from Smarthas. Even though they may be engaged similarly. Okay, so this is 17th principle. Okay, then 18th principle is that three primary duties of a householder are A, Krishna Seva, B, Vaishnava Seva, and the third is Niratara Krishnama Sankirtan. Okay, like that. So, and serving Vaishnavas, one should know that there are three types of non-duplicative Vaishnavas, one should serve all the Vaishnavas. That is Vaishnava Seva. And in Vaishnava Seva, do not invite too many Vaishnavas as it might lead to offenses. Okay. So, and then as stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Dineda yakare yai sadhu swabhav hai. Okay. And then 18th principle, 18th, right? Sorry, 19th. 19th principle is show mercy upon the poor and fallen. One should show mercy upon the poor and the fallen. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Dine Deya Kareyai Sadhu Swabhav Hai. It is a characteristic of all saintly persons to be kind towards the poor and fallen. Okay. And then 20th principle is that don't commit suicide due to sentiment or anger. A grihastha Vaishnava should not desire to give up his body merely out of some sentiment or anger, as stated by Lord in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Leela. Deha tyaga diyata sabha tamo dharma, tamo rajome krishner na paiye marma. Acts such as suicide are influenced by the mode of ignorance. And in ignorance and passion, one cannot understand who Krishna is. So therefore, one should not try to give up one's body under any circumstances. So this was the 20th principle. The 21st principle is that do not distinguish Vaishnavas based on their birth, varna, etc. There is no consideration of superior or inferior status due to social position in regard to worship of Krishna. In worldly occupations, there are different activities according to the different social divisions, which are due to superior and inferior grades of intelligence. There are no such distinctions in the process of devotional service. You see here, even though he talks about for Varnashram, but he says, we did not distinguish Vaishnavas based on that. As confirmed by the Lord in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nicha jati na he Krishna bhajane ayogya, satkula viprana he bhajane ta yogya, yehi bhaje sehi bada abhakta hi na char, Krishna jane na hi jati kula di vichar. Nicha jati na he Krishna bhajanera ayogya. One who is a low-born person is not unfit for discharging devotional service to Lord Krishna. Sakula vipra nahe bhajanera yogya. And just because one is born in an aristocratic family of Brahmanas, one should not think that he is fit for devotional service. Yei bhaje sei bada. Abhakta hina char. Whoever worships Krishna is exalted, whereas a non-devotee is always condemned and abominable. Krishna bhajane nahi jati kuladi vichar. Therefore, in the list of devotional service, there is no consideration of status of one's family. Brahmana, Vaishatriya, Shudra, rich, poor. Krishna bhajane nahi jati kuladi vichar. Also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, ಸನ್ಯಾಸಿ ಪಂಡಿತ ನೇರ್ಕರಿತೆ ಗರ್ವನಾಶ್ ನಿಜಶೂದ್ರ ದ್ವಾರ ಕರೆನ್ ಧರ್ಮೇರ ಪ್ರಕಾಶ್. ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ಡಿಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಪವರ್ಫುಲಿ. ಸನ್ಯಾಸಿ ಪಂಡಿತ ಗಣೇರ ಕೃತೆ ಗರ್ವನಾಶ್ ಟು ವ್ಯಾಂಕ್ವಿಶ್ ಫಾಲ್ಸ್ ಪ್ರೈಡ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸೋ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಅನಾನ್ಶಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಲರ್ನಡ್ ಸ್ಕಾಲರ್ಸ್ ನೀಚ ಶೂದ್ರ ದ್ವಾರೇನ್ ಧರ್ಮೇರ ಪ್ರಕಾಶ್. ಸೊ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ಇನ್ ಆರ್ಡರ್ ಟು ಪಲ್ವರೈಸ್ ದಿ ಫಾಲ್ಸ್ ಪ್ರೈಡ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಸೋ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಅನಾನ್ಶಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಲರ್ನಡ್ ಪಂಡಿಟ್ಸ್ he spreads the principles of religion through shudras and other low class people. Neecha shudra dwara karen dharmira bash. Okay, like that. So this is the 21st principle. Do not distinguish Vaishnavas based on their birth, varna, etc. You know, that's not the right thing to. Now, the 22nd principle is principle of no prayas, no over endeavor for things, for one's bodily gratification. A grihastha Vaishnava should feel satisfied with whatever food and clothing he gets without difficulty. Without difficulty, whatever he gets, one should be satisfied. No prayas, be satisfied. This is the next principle Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Sabahaite Bhagyavanta Shrishakvyanja ಶ್ರೀಶಾಕವ್ಯಂಜನ್ ಪುನಃ ಪುನಃ ಯಾಹ ಪ್ರಭು ಕರೆ ಗ್ರಹಣ್. ಸೊ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಮೆನ್ಷನ್ಡ್ ದಟ್ ಶಾಕ್ ವ್ಯಂಜನ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಶಾಕ ವ್ಯಂಜನ್ ದಿ ಸ್ಪಿನಚ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವೆಜಿಟೇಬಲ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ದ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಫಾರ್ಚುನೇಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಅಕ್ಸೆಪ್ಟ್ ದೆಮ್ ಅಗೇನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅಗೇನ್. ಸಬಹೈತೆ ಭಾಗ್ಯವಂತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶಾಕ ವ್ಯಂಜನ್ ಪುನಃ ಪುನಃ ಯಾಹ ಪ್ರಭು ಕರೆ ಗ್ರಹಣ್. ಸೊ ದ ಸ್ಪಿನಚ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವೆಜಿಟೇಬಲ್ ದ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಫಾರ್ಚುನೇಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಫುಡ್ಸ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ವುಡ್ ರೆಗ್ಯುಲರ್ಲಿ ಅಕ್ಸೆಪ್ಟ್ ದೆಮ್ ಫುಲ್ ಫುಡ್. ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಂಕರಿಂಗ್ ಫಾರ್ ವೆರಿ ಯು ನೋ ಲಕ್ಸೂರಿಯಂಟ್ ಫುಡ್ಸ್. ಎ ಗೃಹಸ್ಥ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಶುಡ್ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಡಿವೋಷನಲ್ ಡ್ಯೂಟೀಸ್ ವಿತ್ ಅನ್ಡಿವಿಯೇಟೆಡ್ ಅಟೆನ್ಷನ್ knowing Krishna is the Lord of all. So this is the 23rd principle. Perform devotional service with attention. Okay. Agrastha Vaishnava should try as much as possible to engage devotional service with great attention, undeviated attention. He should not. So, and then the 24th principle, do not disrespect the demigods of the Smartha Sampradaya. Okay. He should not disrespect the demigods worshipped by the Smartha Sampradaya. As stated in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Namane Chaitanya Patavlaya Vaishna Shivere Amnya Kare Vyartatara Sabha. If one claims to be a Vaishnava but he respects Lord Shiva and does not strictly follow the path exhibited by Lord Chaitanya, all his efforts are futile. Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. One should accept these demigods as Vaishnavas and one should give them the respect that is due to Vaishnavas. And also, they were specifically empowered by the Supreme Personality of God. They are not ordinary personalities. Whatever respect is due for them should be given. Right? We may not worship them on the same pedestal as the Supreme Lord, but that does not mean that we disrespect them. One should not disrespect the demigods. So this is the 24th principle. The 25th principle is a kind of repetition. It adds an additional point. Work for the benefit of others, even by giving up one's self-interest. Okay. Work for the benefit of others even by giving up one's self-interest. So this is what here he says, that the duty of a grihastha to work for the benefit of others even by giving up his own self-interest. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat Antya Kanda, it is said, Apana rabba lahau yete jana deke suna apana chadiyau para rakhe. Some people expect only benefits for themselves, but a gentleman cares for others while giving up his own interest. So selfless service for others' benefit. This is also an important thing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expects from the Grihastha Vaishnavas. 26th, respect and worship Tulasi. Very important service to Vaishnavas. As the Vaishnavas, they should properly take care of Tulsi Devi. Many times it is mentioned that how diligently we take care of Tulsi Maharani, that much she takes care of our devotional service. Tulasi Deki Judaya Pran Madhava Toshani Jani Gaura Priya Shaka Sevan Ivana Sartakaman, as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in the song Shuddha Bhakata Charana. Tulasi Deki Judaya Pran Madhava Toshani Jan. As soon as I see Tulsi Devi, I become so happy and glad, understanding that she pleases the Supreme Lord so nicely. So Grihastha Vaishnava should respect and worship Tulsi, as stated in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Sankhyana malaiteye stane prabhu vaise tatai rakhena tulase prabhu pashe tulasi re dekena japena sankhyana e bhakti yoga tatva ke bujive an. Wherever the Lord sits to chant his rounds, he keeps Tulsi before him. Wow, this is amazing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would keep Tulsi before him wherever he would sit to chant his rounds. He gazes at Tulsi while he chants his rounds. Who can understand the science of devotional service? Respect and worship Tulsi Maharani. This is the 26th principle that he says. Okay. Value the importance of devotion. A householder values the importance of devotion. A householder with devotion is glorious, while a householder without devotion is insignificant. Whatever soul dealings a householder has to perform should be done while taking shelter of the holy name of Krishna. This is the 28th principle. Whatever social dealings one has to perform, do it while taking shelter of the holy names. Okay. Not at the cost of chanting the holy names. One should perform it taking shelter of the holy names. In this context, it is mentioned regarding the character of the Mahajan Shri Kalidas, the Chaitanya Charitamrita states, Mahabhagavata Teho Sala Udar Krishna Nama शंकेत चालाया व्यवहार कौतुकेते ते हो यदि पाशक खेलाया हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा करीक्षक चालाया. कालिदास वॉज वेरी एडवांस डिवोटी महाभागवत हो सरल उदार येट ही वॉज वेरी सिंपल एंड लिबरल. कृष्ण नाम शंकेते चालाय व्यवहार ही वुड चैंट द होली नेम ऑफ कृष्ण वाइल परफॉर्मिंग ऑल हिज ऑर्डिनरी डीलिंग्स. व्हेन ही यूज्ड टू थ्रो डाइस इन जेस्ट ही वुड चैंट हरे कृष्ण वाइल थ्रोइंग द डाइस ऑफकोर्स नॉट टू गैम्बल. Not for gambling, but just for, you know, some fun. So not, so certainly this is not for gambling. Okay. Yeah, all these principles or most of these principles are applicable to everyone. Of course, here, householders, include those who have taken the position of say the Babaji, but specially here householders also refers to those who are married also, you know, grihastha, right? Specifically. So basically the 28th principle is that whatever social dealings one may engage in, perform it while taking shelter of the holy names. Okay. Then the 29th principle, avoid corrupt earning and spending. Avoid corrupt earning and spending. Everyone is prohibited from corrupt earning or spending, and workers are prohibited from accepting bribes, as stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Raja ra vartana khai ara churi kare, raja danya hai sei shastre ra vichare. Aya nakariha kichu rajar mula dhan, rajar mula dana diya ye kichu labhya hai. सेद न करी हन न धर्मे कर्मे व्याय असद व्यय न करी हाते दुई लोकयाय. वन हू सर्व्स द गवर्नमेंट बट मिसअप्रोप्रिएट्स द गवर्नमेंट्स रेवेन्यू इज लायबल टू बी पनिश्ड बाय द किंग. सो दिस इज चैतन्य महाप्रभु स्पीकिंग इन द कॉन्टेक्स्ट ऑफ गोपीनाथ पटनायक, राइट? गोपीनाथ पटनायक, या. सो दैट इज द वर्डिक्ट ऑफ ऑल रिवील्ड स्क्रिप्चर्स. Do not spend any of the king's revenue. First, you should pay the revenue due to the king, and then you may spend the balance for religious and putative activities. Don't spend a farthing for sinful activities, for which you will be the loser both in this life and next life. So one should not just like that, oh, I will utilize office also. I will utilize the office utilities for devotional service. No, we cannot do that, you know. If we should not do anything, you know, which is not gentlemanly, right? If the office is the office printer, the office equipments are there, vehicles, everything is there to be utilized for office work. One should not utilize it for Krishna conscious activities. If one wants to utilize something in Krishna conscious activities, should utilize one's own funds. If the office has given you a vehicle for traveling for the purpose, you know, your office work, why not utilize it even for Krishna conscious activities? You may better you utilize your own money for it. Don't use office property. That is not a vairagya. That is improper action. Okay. So, do not spend any of the king's revenue. So, first you should pay the revenue due to the king. Then you may spend the balance for religious and productive activities. So, you should not say, oh, I'm using it for the religious activities, for Krishna conscious activities also. Now, sometimes devotees just, Prabhu, I will print everything for you. You know, I have a printer in my office. I can print whatever I want. Tell me what all you want. So, using these printers to print, you know, these are not, you know, how much you are going to save by that. You save 100 rupees, 200 rupees, 300 rupees, 1000 rupees, right? Which is less than half of one day's salary, right? Better spend money from your pocket, because if someone catches you, then it actually not only spoils your name, but it spoils the name of the devotees also, that they engage in these kind of illegal activities. Never we should be willing to do these kind of things, you know, because it is penny wise, pound foolish. You know, you don't save much, but when you get caught, it spoils the reputation of all the devotees actually. Okay, let's see how many householder Sharma is still there. Okay, there is a lot of householder duties. I think we have discussed. We have come till 29. We started with 16. So we have almost like 13 duties we have already discussed. I think at this point we will pause to see if there are any discussion points, comments, questions. Anything anyone would like to share, ask, add, you can please go ahead. Is there anything anyone would like to share, ask, add, based on what we have discussed till now? Yes, Monica Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, you said that we should not interrupt someone from worshipping the demigods. But it is not okay that we encourage them in doing demigod worship. Who is our family member? So we should, we must instruct them, no?
No, we need not instruct them. If they will not accept our, if they don't consider us as an authority, then we should not instruct them. So but let them whatever they want. Na? Huh?
It is said that na, that every Indian must preach the right dharma.
Yeah, but preaching what? Should be, what is preaching? Preaching means where there is no faith, you give them faith. And where is faith, you give them instructions. But you should not give instructions to someone who does not have faith. So if they don't have faith in you, preaching does not mean telling them what they should be doing. That is not preaching. That is just one small type of preaching. Preaching also means preaching through your example. Preaching not means speaking. Like they say, we preach throughout the day, and whenever there is a need, we may speak. So which means speaking is one small type of preaching. We don't have to tell them what to do. By our actions only we can show. So we should not unnecessarily instruct people who are not, who may not accept us as authorities. Like unsolicited advice we should never. If they themselves come and ask that, oh, what we should do? Oh, we see that you are not worshiping the demigods, you are worshiping only Krishna. So why? He said, oh, this is because the Shastras say that. So therefore I do. So is it? So then should we also worship Krishna? Then you say, yes, that is better. Because the Bhagavatam says, Yata taror mula nishechanena tripyanti tatskanda bujopashaka. You may have attraction for Pati, you may have attraction for Lord Shiva, But if you worship Krishna, it is like watering the root of the tree. Automatically, all the demigods are also satisfied. So if they ask you, you may speak. If they don't ask you, we don't have to go around giving unsolicited advice to people, because that may not be accepted in the right sense.
Okay, and the other question is, we have discussed that we should not cut off the money of government, but there is widely spread one concept that you donate to any temple and you will benefit from paying the tax. So is mm-hmm. it right?
Oh, that is okay, because instead of giving your money in tax, that will anyway go away. You can utilize it. It is a fair utilization of that money for the service of Krishna. So it is in the mood. What is the mood of that kind of charity? We have to see. It's not that that is the only charity, you know, whatever. But of course, even that is good. Instead of allowing it to go in taxes, if you are realizing that money for Krishna conscious charity, that is a good thing. But all of this depends on the mood of the practitioner. So if it is in the right mood, then I think that is perfectly fine.
Okay, thank you.
Hare Krishna. Shyam Mukund Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji,
Dandavat
Pranam. Am I audible, Prabhuji?
Yeah.
Prabhuji, I just want to share that you said that about not to using anything of his things and everything for Krishna's sake and our purposes. So I have heard that once Chanakya Pandit, he was writing something, the accounts mm-hmm. of the king. So one person mm-hmm. went to meet him. Then the lamp which was burning after completing his writing, he closed that. He light up another lamp. So the mm-hmm. man asked, why you lit up another lamp? So he did that. Mm-hmm. Now I am writing accounts and expenses of my household expenses. The oil which was burning was the king's oil previously, but now it is for my household expenses, so I am using my own house king's oil and all that.
Yeah, so and also he had two separate ink bottles. So he asked, why do you have two separate ink bottles?
Ink bottles.
Lamp also. So why two ink bottles, two lamps? You know, one is for my household personal things and another is for my official utility. So that is very important, actually. It's very important.
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Venkat Govind Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandat Pranam.
Dandat Prabhu.
Yeah, Prabhuji, continuing the same question which Mataji was asking just before devotee asked you. Mm-hmm. You said that it is okay if we one evades the tax which is going to the government.
I didn't say if one is okay if one evades the tax, because mm-hmm. if that is the mood is to evade the tax. See, I don't know these details much. You know, my income tax and this knowledge is very, very minimal or non-existent, you can say. So I did not say that tax evasion is good. What I meant is, situation is such that if the government gives you an option that you can get some tax benefit by giving some favorable charity, which means government itself is engaging or encouraging charitable disposition of people. So So it's not that if otherwise the government could have as well not given that. So not for the mood should not be tax evasion, but because government is giving this encouragement to, you know, be charitable, and you give in charity, we will reward you by actually waiving a portion of your taxes. So one can utilize it to give in charity for a Krishna conscious purpose, but the mood should not be to evade the taxes. So that is clear. So we are talking about the mood, not the activity itself. Is that relevant, bro?
Prabhuji, there are two schools of thought. One is one can evade the tax and give it to Krishna conscious activity. The first one is to pay the tax fully. The thing is, we think that when we pay the tax, the government is utilizing for some activities which are not Krishna conscious activities, and they are sometimes they can be abominable activities also. So the thinking is, instead of supporting such abominable activities, why don't we support Krishna conscious activities by evading the tax? The other school of thought is, anyway, it is government has made a rule and you have to follow the rule. And if you don't follow the rule, you have to pay for it. Not from the government punishment point of view, but in terms of karmic reactions. In the sense, you are supposed to pay. And what government does is, it is their headache. And you are not bound by the reactions of that activity. So these two schools of thought are always bothering me.
I agree with the second understanding. What government does through your tax money does not bind you. So I will not agree with this point. You should not pay taxes, evade the taxes, and utilize it for Krishna conscious money. Because by paying taxes, if they use it in non-Krishna conscious activities, you are bound by it. I don't subscribe to this understanding. This is not correct.
Okay.
So this is certainly not correct. Definitely devotees pay their tax money. Whatever it is, this kind of taxation and all, it is certainly not correct. And the government misutilizes it, only they are bound. The taxpayer is not bound. And anyway, devotees are not bound by the laws of karma. So definitely devotees should be perfect gentlemen by paying their taxes and evading tax. This is my understanding. So this kind of thing, evade the taxes and give in charity. No. You pay your taxes, and after that, if money is left, which you can afford in charity, only give that much in charity. So don't evade the taxes and give it in charity for Krishna. That in the long run, it will be penny pound foolish. If many devotees start doing this, then it will bring a lot of bad name to the movement only. This certainly should not be encouraged, in my understanding.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Gauranga Purushottam Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Dhanvat Pram Prabhuji.
Dhanvat Prabhu.
Prabhuji, I have one question. Actually, generally in office hour, we get very much leisure time. And that time, sometimes we read some scriptures and something. And so is this a good way? Because colleagues are sitting and gossiping and giving politics, discussing. So better to not involve in that. We can read in our computer, PC, something. So it is a good thing, or we should avoid also that?
Well, if we can, of course, one thing that Bhakti Tag, of course, how much it is applicable in today's work culture, I cannot tell. But Bhakti Vinod Thakur used to very diligently and quickly complete his duties, because in those days, as a judge, he was paid not for the time that he spent, but the duties that he completed. So he would very diligently complete his duties, come back, and at home he would engage in various kinds of direct devotional activities. But at his workplace, he would be diligently engaged in his occupational activities. So, but in today's day and age, in today's work culture, how much it is applicable. You are probably paid for the hours. You know, I think it is both. You know, you have to spend so many hours. And also, the based on how diligently you are completing your work, I think you get increments and promotions based on that. But apart that, I think every day you are expected to clock in 8 hours, 10 hours, like that. I think that time-based expectation is also there. So, yeah, you will have to see. But ideally...
Yeah, actually, in general, Prabhuji, I am working in a government sector, so there is time bound. And in this, frankly saying, in the government sector, there is a leisure. There is hardly means work is there, so they have to work some. There are a lot of time, so people are only dealing, gossiping that thing. So just I want to ask in this, if there is no.
Yeah, work, if that is the case, then I think you can probably do, but it should not be seen as you are utilizing the government or the money to do your own personal work. Anyway, others are doing, but if there is absolutely no work, then there is not much that you can do. As long as you are doing your work diligently, and if other people, you are not falling in other people's eyes, you are utilizing office hours to do your own things, then I think it is okay. So, but yeah, if there is no work, then what you will do? It is better than gossiping is to read some Krishna conscious literature. But be careful that other people should not say that, oh, he takes government's money and does his own thing like that. That is not good for devotees.
Yes, thank you, Prabhu. Thank you.
Right. Okay, there is another question in the chat box. During COVID, many colleges keep exams online and there is a lot of opportunity to cheat the exam. If all of our friends are doing, then can we also do? Because this may give the devotee less score and may affect his future. The only problem with this is that this will become a habit. See, one gets bad habits very quickly. It's very difficult to develop good habits. The problem with this is that, yes, online exams give opportunity for cheating and all of your classmates are cheating. So if you don't cheat, probably the teacher also understands that everyone is going to cheat and then sets the question paper accordingly, that even if you may cheat, that you will have, you'll have to search for the answer a long time in your books to write it. So unless you have done some basic good reading, you will even not be able to ace the paper just because you have the book in your hand and you are cheating. This is a little dicing. But the only thing is, if you somehow diligently prepare and write the exam without cheating, that is the best thing to do. Even if you may score a little less. Because post-COVID, you will realize that you have become habituated to write exams open book while cheating. So we will find it very difficult to give up the bad habit. It is very easy to pick up the bad habit, because eternally it's not going to be online exam where, so ideally it's not the best thing to do. Yes, our friends may cheat and get little better marks. It is okay, but it is better to utilize put some solid time in preparing for the exam and write the exam without cheating, than to cheat and write, because in the long run, it will benefit us. It will surely benefit us. And for others, in the long run, we will be benefited. You know, we will not be victims of this bad habit of cheating while writing exam. So if we can somehow tolerate this urge to cheat and write because the opportunity is there and everyone does it, we will grow. Internally, we will grow for sure. But if we somehow succumb to it, then it will become our second nature. Then it's a problem actually. So better we tolerate this urge and do it honestly. And one or two exams, let us score less than our friends, it is okay. But in the long run, it will help us. This is my understanding. Okay, so Mataji shares that even I have done this in the midterm exams, but in the end, in final university exams, we have to write under the observation of camera, right? So during that time, you cannot cheat. So those who have put in that extra hard work and written the exam without cheating, in the final exam, they will be benefited. But those who just, you know, understood that anyway, because the moment you realize that it, you know, you can write while cheating, immediately you'll stop preparing. That is the first thing that will happen. And we will start wasting that time. But if you take a vow that I will not cheat, then you will utilize that time in properly studying, and in the final exam, that person will get benefited. In the long run, it will always be beneficial. Better to, tolerate that urge and stick to the principles. Actually, that is better. Okay. Anyways, let us continue our discussion further. So how many? 29 we have seen. The 30th principle is that accepting as Sadguru. A grihastha should accept a spiritual master who is full of devotion and of pure character. As mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Guru yata bhakti shunyatata shishyagan. As the guru is without devotion, so are the disciples. Okay. So one should certainly choose a guru who is filled with devotion and is of pure character. Because the disciples' growth will be restricted according to the disciples' growth will be restricted according to the devotion of the guru. So one can certainly take time to choose one's guru. But one should choose a proper guru who is full of devotion and pure character. So then, 31st principle, he says, is avoid Vaishnava Parad. Okay. A householder should be particularly careful not to commit offenses against the Vaishnavas. Right? Just give me one second. Okay, so he says that a householder should be particularly careful not to commit offenses against the Vaishnavas. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, the Lord says, Ye Vaishnavastane aparadha haya haya yara punasei kshamile se guchena hai ara. When someone offends a Vaishnava, he is not relieved until he is forgiven by that same Vaishnava. So therefore, we have to do whatever is needed to please that Vaishnava so that from his heart, he forgives us. Even though this may be very painful for our false ego, but in the long run, it is 100% worth it. It is 100% worth it. Sooner or later, it may not be immediately possible for us. But the sooner we apologize and try to please that Vaishnava, it is best. The more we delay, it is like holding the burning coal. The longer you hold, the longer it will burn. Eventually, you have to drop it down. The best course is to immediately drop it, which means immediately fall at the feet, beg forgiveness, do some service, please the Vaishnava, and from his heart inspire him to forgive. That is the best course. But I know it is not very easy. Sometimes it is very painful for the false ego. But this false ego will kill us actually. It will kill our spiritual life. Better immediately fall at the feet and beg for forgiveness. That is the best course of action. Okay. So, and again he mentions this point here. 32nd point is service to Vaishnavas. It's very critical. So basically the point that I want to emphasize here is that it could have, Chaitanya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur could have made it very easy here. He could have told, understand what are the duties of a grihastha, and according to a particular varna and ashrama, learn those duties from the Dharma Shastras and follow. So follow the Dharma Shastras, whatever is the recommended duties of according to a particular Varna and Ashrama. So he could have told that, but he does not say. He says, follow the activities of the later Mahajans, the Mahajans who came after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he instructs them, he presents the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his grihastha devotees. Okay, so he says, follow these instructions. So this is actually, in one sense, this is how, householders are supposed to live their lives. Not according to the guidance of the Dharma Shastras, but according to the guidance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers. Right? That is the point. Just give me one second. So, here he says that as stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, he says, Vaishnavera Shesha Bhaksha Nera Eteka Mahima Kali Dase Pavo Yaila Prabhura Kripa Sima Bhakta Pada Duli Ar Bhakta Pada Jal Bhakta Bhukta Avashesha Tina Mahabal. taking the remnants of the Vaishnava's food is so valuable that it induced Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to offer Kalidas his supreme mercy. The dust of the feet of a devotee, the water that has washed the feet of a devotee, and the remnants of food left by a devotee are three very powerful substances. So, service to Vaishnavas and accepting their remnants. Remnants, food, dust, etc. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord Krishna describes how householders should act until his natural propensity for enjoying sense objects is overcome and fully attains the characteristics of a pure devotee. Okay. How a householder should act? How should a householder act till his anarthas are gone? So how should a householder act until anarthanavritti is accomplished? Okay. This is the principle that he says as the 33rd instruction to Grihasthas. Jata shraddho mat kataso nirvinna sarva karmasu veda dukkatmakam kaman parityage pyanishvarah tato bhajeta mam pritah shraddhalur drida nischayah manascha tan kaman dukko darkamscha garhayan. So the devotee, the householder devotee, may have jata shraddho mat kataso. He may have faith. He may have full faith in Krishna consciousness. Okay. And nirvinna sarva karmasu. And he is not interested in materialistic activities. He has faith in Krishna consciousness activities. Veda dukkatmakam kaman. And he very clearly understands the engagement in any materialistic activity or activity of sense gratification will eventually lead to suffering. Yehi samsparshaja boga dukta yonaye evate. He knows that. But parityage api anishvaraha. But he is not always able to say no to sense gratification. Sometimes he succumbs to sense gratification. So what should he do? So how should an householder act until anartha nivritti is accomplished? So the first instruction Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives is bhajeta mam. Bhajeta mam. Don't give up my worship. Come to worship me. Preetaha. Preetaha means do not succumb to depression. Oh, I am not able to do, I am not able to give up sense gratification. Do not be completely consumed by depression. Tato bhajeta mam preeta shraddhalur. Shraddhaluhu. So shraddhaluhu means what? Do not doubt the process. Oh, does chanting work really? I have been chanting for such a long time, but still I am not able to overcome my anarthas. Does chanting really work? Don't doubt the process. Dhrida nischaya. So dhrida nischaya means be more determined to give up sense gratification. Okay. जुषमानश्च तान् कामान् दुःखोदकांश्च गर्हयन्. गर्हयन् means have sincere repentance. Okay. So, what will happen? How should a devotee who is struggling with his anarthas, sometimes even succumbing to his anarthas, what should he do? So he says that don't give up worship of Krishna. Okay. Worship Krishna and don't be consumed by depression. Oh, I am not able to give up my sense gratification. I mean, one should feel bad about it, but one should not be overly self-consumed. And he says that Shraddhalu, do not doubt the process, whether the process is working or not, doubt the process. Dhrida Nishchaya, try to be little more determined to give up your sense gratification. And Garhayan, develops your repentance, develop sincere repentance. So these are the five instructions Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives to a householder. How should a householder act until his anartha nivritti is accomplished? Like that. So he says, when a householder has faith, he should take initiation into the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Okay. So, this is the next principle. Okay. Next principle is accept initiation. Okay. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrit, Shraddha Vajja Nahai Bhakti Adhikari Uttama Madhyama Kanishta Shraddha Anusari. A faithful devotee is a truly eligible candidate for the loving service of the Lord. According to one faith, one is classified as an Uttamadhikari or Madhyamadhikari or a Kanishtadhikari. A Grihastha Vaishnava must gradually acquire all the qualities mentioned in Chaitanya Amrit. Okay. So this is the 35th principle. One should gradually acquire all the good qualities. Of course, we can acquire the good qualities only by practice of bhakti. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasate suraha. Okay. So, one can develop all good qualities only by practicing bhakti, but one need not, in order to display a good quality, one need not wait to get good quality. Like, for example, one may not be feeling humble from inside, but one need not think, I will act humbly only after I feel humble from inside. No. One need not wait till one acquires that quality. One can understand that if I act humbly, it will be very good for my devotional service. So therefore, to save my devotional service, I will act humbly. Even though we may not be feeling humbled from inside. That is very important. That is very important. One should not say that, oh, I will act humble or I will act with tolerance only after I feel tolerant from inside. No. One need not wait till that. The internal qualities will develop gradually over a period of time by practice of bhakti, but one can externally act even though one may not feel those emotions inside. Now, someone may ask that, isn't that cheating? Like, I don't feel respectful towards a particular person, but externally I'm acting disrespectfully. Isn't that hypocrisy? Isn't that cheating? The answer is no, it is not cheating. What we are essentially trying to do is that we are, our faith is telling, our faith is telling, be respectful. Our swabhava is telling, be respectful. We are just choosing to respond to our faith. We are just choosing to respond to the call of faith. And choosing not to respond to our bhava. Okay. So this is not cheating. This is actually acting with discrimination. Okay. To become humble is a gradual thing. To become tolerant, gradual thing. To become respectful is a gradual thing. To develop the quality of not expecting respect is a gradual thing. Okay. But to act respectfully based on our pure devotional faith, that can happen before we develop the respectful attitude also. So he says, Kripalu Akrita Droha Satyasara Sama Nirdosha Vadanya Mrudu Shuchi Akinchana Sarvopakaraka Shanta Krishnaika Sharana Akama Aniha Stira Vijita Shaguna Mitabha Apramatta Manada Amani Gambhira Karuna Maitra Kavi Daksha Mauni. So, devotees are always humble, truthful, equal to all, faultless, magnanimous, mild and clean. They are without material possessions and they perform welfare work for everyone. They are peaceful, surrendered to Krishna and desireless. They are indifferent to the material acquisitions and are fixed in devotional service. They completely control the six bad qualities, lust, anger, greed and so forth. They eat only as much as required and they are not inebriated. They are respectful, grave, compassionate and false prestige. They are friendly, poetic, expert and silent. But of all these qualities, Krishnaika Sharana, their exclusive surrender to Krishna is the primary quality. That is like the engine. And all the other qualities are the compartments. So, so therefore, a devotee primarily develops this quality of Krishnaika Sharanam, exclusive surrender to Krishna. So, when he exclusively surrenders to Krishna, all the other qualities naturally develop like that. Okay, so this is the 35th quality. How much more do we have for Grihastha Vaishnavas? Okay, there are a lot more, I think. Okay, I think, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Another 16 slides we have for discussing further duties of a Grihastha Vaishnava. But yeah, are there any quick discussion points, comments, questions based on what we have discussed now? If you have, you can please go ahead. Yes, Keshav Priya Mataji.
Harekshna Prabhuji, Dandavad Pranam. Prabhuji, the 33rd instruction of Prabhuji, how should a householder behave before completing Anatta Nivritti?
This is householder means all sadhakas. Okay. Not just for the householders, it is for all sadhakas.
Yes, Prabhuji, like the instruction is we have to have the faith, we shouldn't lose the faith, we should continue this process. And what is the practical way, Prabhuji, like? What is it practically they should like? Some people here, I could see many devotees, Prabhuji, they used to tell me that till we complete Anatta Nivritti, we have to do this Varnashrama Dharma or all these things, otherwise, we'll get karma, something like that. Many devotees are telling like that, Prabhuji. But is there any instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so simple like this? That's why I want to ask this, Prabhuji.
Hey, that's what we have been discussing, right? We have to do Varnashrama Dharma means, so in this context, it refers to one should not prematurely give up everything, go to the forest and give up one's husband, wife, family and all that. So that is what it means. But that does not mean you follow every single according to the Dharma Shastras. That is why here, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhaktivinoda Thakur very clearly says that Varnashrama should be followed till Bhava. But what does it mean to follow Varnashrama Dharma? It means do not give up the social structure. You know, you are a woman, which means certain womanly duties are there. That you cannot say, I am just a spirit soul, I am the servant of Krishna, I don't have any womanly duties. Not like that. I am not there, not like that. So, those roles you don't give up. That is what it means. But those roles are controlled by devotional value system. So, which means a mother sees her role towards her children as, she sees her children as either Vaishnavas and she serves them as Vaishnavas. Or if they are not Vaishnavas, she sees them as potential Vaishnavas and her role as facilitating them in such a nice way that they develop some attraction towards Krishna consciousness in future.
Yes.
So, in that mood. So, so therefore, these are like, these roles are dovetailable in a Krishna conscious way and they become the secondary limbs of bhakti. So, the secondary limbs of bhakti should not be given up. So, the more one progresses on the path of devotional service, one's dependence on the secondary limbs will go down. And gradually, one can give up those secondary limbs and one will be completely dependent on the primary limbs when one reaches the stage of bhava and prema. So, therefore, this does not mean that we should start studying the Dharma Shastras and know what is... So, that is why... Chaitanya Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that follow Varnashrama. That how, but how to follow Varnashrama? He says, now I will tell you how to follow Varnashrama. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught his followers how to follow Varnashrama. Follow them. And now he is giving 31, 32, 33, all these things that he is telling. He is not quoting from Dharma Shastra. He is quoting from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings to his own followers.
Yes, Prabhu.
So that is the way we should follow.
Okay, but this instruction, like that we should get from our guru, is it, Prabhuji? Like, we are not going to follow Varnashrama like Dharma Shastra, but we are going to lead, we are leading a grihastha life also, no, Prabhuji? So, what instruction we should follow or we should get from devotees alone, is it, Prabhuji?
Yeah, we should get from devotees alone. So, one thing Prabhuji, that he says about occupations. Is that if you accept an occupation according to your nature, then it is favorable for Krishna consciousness. So, you should try to accept an occupation which is favorable, which is according to your nature. So, that he says. So, then that way it makes your gross body and subtle body very quickly favorable towards devotional service. That is one thing that he says about accepting occupations. And second thing that he says is that certain social structure and certain roles, a role as a woman, as a daughter, those things and all, you cannot say, you know, which lifetime, which mother, which father, you know, that kind of ridiculous arguments one should not say, that, you know, I don't have, you are not my mother, you are not my father, Krishna is my only father, I don't have any obligation towards you. Matlab, that is like a very immature application of these kind of principles. Okay, you are not obligated, no doubt, but that does not mean that you lack basic gratitude also for what you have received from them. So it's not a sense of karmic obligation, but it is a sense of basic gratitude. Don't you have basic gratitude for what you have received? You know, just act gratefully. You know, that is not against Krishna consciousness. That is actually very favorable for Krishna consciousness. And now, you may want to call it Varnashrama, or you may want to call it secondary limbs of bhakti. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, Prabhuji, why I'm asking is, like, we are following instruction of devotees, Prabhuji. Very recently, I heard in a place near me, in a city 1 hour from my place, there is gone certain people, like, they're advising they shouldn't allow their girl children to study more than plus two. They should be properly trained in household things, that women should not study, something like that. And all it's going on, Prabhuji. That is why I'm saying, like, what rules, what to follow, who will guide us properly? That's what I'm asking, Prabhuji. If you're not going to follow Dharma Shastra, then what? Whose instruction we should hear? Like, I was totally shocked by this. So this is what Srila Prabhupada wants. Like that, they're all speaking, Prabhuji. So it is something new for me. That's why I'm asking you this, Prabhuji.
Well, I don't know. I would certainly not poke my nose in these kind of things. I mean, if it works, very good. If it does not work,
like, we don't have a shastra to follow, we are following the instruction of devotees, means from whom? That is the point I'm asking, Prabhuji. Like, what to follow? That is the point I'm asking. Like, yeah, some may tell like this, some may tell in other way.
These are little secondary things. These are secondary. The primary thing is you create a system where they feel positively inspired in Krishna consciousness. Many times they may have the right principles, but a very pathetic application of these kind of principles. So they will not show sufficient love and affection for their children, and they will only say, beyond 12th standard, I will not allow you to study.
Yeah.
And all their friends are studying.
Yes, Prabhu.
And you are forcing them not to study, keeping them in the house and making them cook and clean and all these things. And internally, they are just waiting. Let me just become a major 18 years old. I will just run away from house. So basically, that's what will happen. So the you may have the right principles, but many times devotees royally mess up in the application of these kind of principles. Very immature application of these kind of principles. And they end up spoiling their own lives and their children's lives, actually.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I personally feel, you know, this kind of emphasis better emphasize on the primary limbs, facilitate their nice practice of Krishna consciousness, and make them appreciate that kind of lifestyle. You don't force it upon them. Make them appreciate. Let them want to themselves learn these things, apply these things, rather than you telling them, I am not going to pay for your studies, sit at home, learn cooking and all that. That way they will become definitely, this is a sure shot recipe for making them anti-conscious. So the point is, you know, this is a, if it is not very sensitively applied, and very, you know, those parents should be so kind and kind-hearted and loving to their children, and their children are willing to do anything that their parents say. So when they have commanded that kind of a relationship from their daughter, then they can very nicely explain to their daughter, look, this is very favorable. Mm. So are you interested? We will not force you, but if you are ready to study further, you can definitely further. We will facilitate that. But having said that, Krishna consciousness, this kind of lifestyle is very favorable. What is your choice? So this kind of mature talk and inspiration-based things should be done. Otherwise, these kind of external things you keep changing, you keep making adjustments without doing the primary things properly, it will only create mess. They will just run away from house only.
Very
so,
true.
So I personally, I would like to say, I have nothing against these principles. It is okay if they get married early. I have nothing against them. If they don't study further, I have nothing against that. The only problem is, how are you going to institute these things? How are you going to show it? If there is immaturity in application of this principle, this is sure shot recipe for disaster, actually.
True. Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Yes, Hari Prasad, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, this question keeps repeating in my mind, but I'm not able to resolve this, that we hear na trinadapi suni chena taravega sahishuna amayana maradena kirtane sada hari. The four qualities are expected, and when you get the four qualities, you will be able to chant continuously. So that correct. This is the one side. I had some devotees spoken the other side also. You know, you start chanting as much as possible, ultimately these qualities will develop, and then they will come. Because at the same time, I'm remembering a few more statements from you only, that you told that humility, and we practice humility, simplicity, we practice them so that we don't offend devotees, so that we control ourselves without offending other devotees. But actual virtue of the humility and virtue of those good qualities will automatically come to devotion service. And we don't do it forcefully, because this is not a practice given by the Prabhupada. This is not given only. He had spoken some principles. We practice devotion service, and ultimately these are outcomes of those devotion service.
Correct.
And then on the other side, I see some statements like Krishna Thakur speaks that simplicity is the beginning of the service. So, so that kind of statement there.
What was the statement? Your voice is breaking because of internet. What is the statement?
Simplicity is the beginning of the devotion service. Simplicity is the beginning.
Again, simplicity means what? Simplicity means actually no duplicity. And none of these qualities are black and white. If someone is to the extent someone is non-duplicitous, to that extent he is sincerely practicing Krishna consciousness. So in that sense. But it is not that if someone has not developed 100% simplicity, he cannot practice Krishna consciousness only. It's not like that. So simplicity, none of these qualities are black and white, right? So there are shades of gray between black and white. So so if someone is 100% duplicitous, he can certainly not practice Krishna consciousness, because one needs some level of non-duplicitous nature to practice Krishna consciousness with sincerity. So therefore, to say that simplicity is a prerequisite to practice Krishna consciousness, it means some degree of simplicity rather than absolute simplicity. So absolute simplicity will gradually develop when one practices Krishna consciousness, as do other qualities also. They will also gradually develop as and when one practices Krishna consciousness. So so the point is that this is all a cyclic thing. When we chant, we develop these qualities. And we develop these qualities, we will be able to chant more nicely. And when we chant more nicely, we will still more powerfully develop these qualities. When these qualities develop in a more powerful way, it will make our chanting even more easier. So it's all a cyclic thing.
Okay.
Is that relevant?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, one last question. We will have to wind up. Yes, Ramacharya.
Prabhuji, I just want a little bit align with what Keshwapriya Mataji was sharing. Especially if you have a small congregation. For the bigger congregation, it takes time to penetrate the personality that you have on the upper management. But for a small congregation, it's very quick that idea comes to the life of the devotees. And you mentioned today, I had impression that for bhakti, there is no other requirements. I mean, bhakti itself is the cause of the bhakti. But then I also heard that vanashram should be followed until the bhava stage.
Yeah, but that's so. But I did clarify it very elaborately. What aspect of varnashram? So when I clarified it by indicating that here when we talk about varnashram, it refers to the secondary limbs of bhakti. Secondary limbs of bhakti, which means a lifestyle which is favorable for bhakti and a social setup which may be favorable for bhakti. Certain occupational duties which may be according to our nature, which is also favorable for bhakti. So these are the things which you may see that, oh, they are actually limbs of varnashrama, but in reality they are not, because they are accepted in the mood anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. So that makes them actually secondary limb bhakti only. Because a devotee householder, he should also earn his livelihood through an occupation. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, look, even if you are a devotee, if you accept an occupation according to your nature, then it is very favorable for practicing bhakti. So now, accepting an occupation favorable to one's nature or according to one's nature, you may call it varnashrama or you may call it a secondary limb of bhakti. So we do not accept the value system of varnashram, which is dharmasya sankalpo adharmasya varjanam. We do not accept that. We do not accept the rituals, the dharmashastra rituals that one may have to follow according to a brahmana or a grihastha. Those specific rituals we don't accept. We don't accept the pramana, the dharmashastra, the pramana for varnashrama. We don't accept that pramana. So these aspects of varnashrama we do not accept. But certain aspects of social structure, like for example, your identity as a male, identity as a particular citizen, it's not like, oh, I am not this body, I am not an Indian, that does not mean I will take my passport and burn it. Right, you still do act within the realm of a particular social structure. Those things and that you have to do it, but that is not exactly varnashrama. That is just being aware of the inertia of false ego that you are carrying into the realm of bhakti. So that is what Srinath Thakur is talking here as varnashrama. Don't act as if you have no. You have no influence of your past false ego, which is not at all true. You still think in terms of a male. You still act in terms, act like a human being and all that. So therefore, don't completely disown or immediately disown the influence of the false ego. That is what he means when he says that the need to follow Varnashrama. The need to follow Varnashrama does. So he very clearly clarifies that. But that following should be completely under the control and domination of bhakti. So which means it should be what we accept, what we don't accept should be perfectly guided by the principle of anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjana. Like he says.
Thank you, Prabhu. So sounds like maybe some sort of dovetailing then.
Yeah, certain dovetailable things can be dovetailed.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Okay, I think we have to pause here. We are already over time. So thank you very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will continue this discussion next Wednesday. So Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Pad ki jai, Sri Bhakti Aloka ki jai. Hare Krishna.